Good morning. It is a pleasure to be here this morning with you in New Bothwell. For those that maybe don't know me, my name is Jay Weeb, and my wife Jessie is with me this morning. And it is our prayer that this will be a time that we can use to uplift our, let the Lord uplift ourselves and to be encouraged in our Christian walk. May grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. A hearty welcome to each one of you, whether you are a guest or if you're a regular here. As an introduction to this morning's message, which I have entitled Patience. Temptations and trials in our lives, we sometimes think that they are terrible foes, but are they? If we give in to temptation, they can enslave and destroy us before we know it. Temptations can hook us on the world and its possessions and pleasures, or else they can even destroy our wills, our families, our friendships, or our jobs. And the trials of life can unsettle and disrupt our lives. And if we are not on guard, they can crush us through some happening or accident, disease, or death. So how can we overcome temptation and trials and conquer and gain a permanent victory over them? As Christians, we must keep focused on the end goal of eternal life with Jesus, our Savior. And that is where patience comes in. James writes in chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So today we're going to be speaking on the topic of patience, with our text being taken from James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11, which we will read just a bit later. But before we go there, let's open up in a word of prayer. Would you join me? Our Heavenly Father, this morning we come before your throne of grace, and Lord, we thank you for this day that you have given to us through your grace. Lord, as we came in this morning, we saw the beautiful sunrise, and as the clouds in the east, it almost looked like we were driving towards the mountains and it was beautiful. And Lord, we know that you are the creator of all things and you've created all things good and all things beautiful. We ask for your blessing on us this morning as we have come together to worship you and to hear your word. Lord, we pray for those that could not be here and those that would have had a desire to be in our midst. For whatever reason that they could not be here, we ask your blessing to be upon them also. May you bless the leadership of this church. May you bless all those that serve this morning, be it in music or in doing the sound or later on the Sunday school, whichever the case may be, that you would bless all those that have given their heart in serving you. Lord, most of all, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And then we're going to start off with a few songs.
Number 52 in the blue hymnal. I invite you to stand.
Pressure.
Number 64, Springs of the Living Water. Ground number 262.
To scale the utmost height. gleam of glory bright, but still a bridge till heaven I found, for lead me on to higher ground. For lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher claim that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher
ground. So as I mentioned at the introduction, that I want to use James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11 as text words for this morning, and I want to start off by reading them. So James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, and the Lord is very pitiful of tender mercy. Thus far our text. So verse 7 starts off by telling the Christian to patiently wait for the Lord's return. Now if we can patiently wait for the coming of Jesus Christ, should we not also be patient in waiting for God's timing in all of life's circumstances? Further in verse 7, James uses the example of a farmer. He's patiently waiting for his crop to mature. And we've just come through the season, growing season, and where we have harvested. And of course, the farmer diligently tends to his crops, preparing the soil, sowing the seed, removing the weeds, and so on. Doing his part so the crop will thrive. But he also knows that nothing he does will hurry the due process of sprouting, growing, flowering, developing fruit, the ripening, and then finally, the harvest. No matter how much fretting or anxious hand-wringing or pacing the field will hurry up this process, it will not change the outcome. And the writer of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 tells us, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Then later on in that same chapter, he also says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time, and also he hath set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work of God that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So if God has ordered our days, then why are we in such a hurry? Just as a farmer cannot spend or cannot speed up the time from seeding until harvest, likewise, we cannot hurry the days as have been ordered by God. We certainly can hurry the decline of our mental and physical health if we so choose. But God's calendar will remain unchanged nonetheless. When I think of myself, my own life, when my own life gets harried, we could say, hurried and harried, with so much in need of doing and so seemingly so precious little time to get it done. I sometimes think of an old song. If any of you that are familiar with country music, or if you are of my age, maybe I'm dating myself here. But there's a song that goes something like this. I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really need to do is live and die. But I'm in a hurry, and I don't know why. In our text, in verses 7 to 9, where it talks of patience, the farmer in verse 7 of the text is a good example of the kind of patient waiting believers must have as they wait on the Lord, and even for the Lord's return. The farmer plants his seed, patiently waits for the early rain to germinate the seed, and then the latter rain to fill that kernel and to ripen the crop. And note this, the farmer looks forward to the day of harvest with great expectation. So much that he does all that he can to protect the glorious day of harvest. And there are certain things he can or she can do and some that they cannot. We have to work around the weather, deal with insects and disease and weeds. But no matter what confronts the farmer that we read about in our text, he patiently endures the trial and combats it every step of the way. And he does all that he can to conquer that trial. Why? Why does he labor so diligently? Why does he endure so patiently? Because his eyes are fixed on the goal. And what is that goal? The goal is the day of harvest. An example for us as believers here is strong. Believers, be patient. Patiently endure as the farmer that is used in this example. We must establish, as it says in verse 8, establish our hearts. The words means to set upon, to fix upon. We must set our hearts upon the Lord's day. As we focus and set our hearts on his return, and to be looking for it just as the farmer looks for his great day of harvest. Looking for that great day of redemption for the Lord's glorious return. And this should stir us to combat the temptation and the trials that we may face one step at a time. And to patiently endure no matter whatever the situation is. And by patiently enduring, we shall gain the victory over all, no matter what the situation may be. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The promise has been given that we will reap if we faint not. So then, believers must not complain or murmur and judge others. We should not complain about our situation, or our trials, or our temptations, and most definitely not blame others for. for what we are experiencing. God will not tolerate this. In verse 9, it says, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned." Those are powerful words. It says, if we complain or murmur against one another or against God, that we will be condemned. And it says, behold, the judge stands before the door. It is a strong warning to us that the Lord will judge those who complain and murmur and grumble. Paul also addressed this in Philippians 2, verse 14, when he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. He says, don't murmur, don't dispute. You're all pulling together for one goal. And it requires endurance, and it requires patience. In verse 10, we have another example. And this is of the prophets. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Be as patient as the prophets were in suffering affliction, for they believed and spoke in the name of the Lord. And what James is saying is here, look at these prophets. Look who have gone before you. Look at your forefathers. Men and women who have believed and hoped in God and bore a witness to God, that faced all kinds of trials and temptations, but they patiently endured. Look at the prophets, and you will have a great example to follow in patient endurance. As we find in Hebrews in chapter 11, verses 36 to 38, that they, referring to the believers or the prophets, the forefathers, they suffered cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Now, if we just stop and think a little bit about what Paul is describing here. And then if we think of ourselves today, are we being tried? Are we being tried the way these prophets were tried? And these prophets patiently waited and endured. They stood fast, held on to the faith of God, faith in God, as they combated the trials and temptations every step of the way, one step at a time. They refused to give in and to question and moan and grumble against God. Instead, they continued to proclaim the salvation and the hope of God for the world, and that includes us. They continued to believe and to speak up for God despite the terrible trials and temptations that were upon them. If we read in the early part of the early Christians in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, it says that they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. These early Christians suffered many things, and yet they counted it as joy to be counted worthy of suffering for the name of Jesus. And verse 10 says we are to look to them for an example. But let's be clear here. Patiently suffering as one who causes trouble is not what Scripture is teaching here. And unfortunately, that seems to be the case in our world today with many. We will not be blessed because we are persecuted or that we are withstood because we are causing trouble. But as I said already, as we found in Acts, for those that were suffering for the name of Jesus, they could take joy. And they suffered patiently. 1 Peter 2, verse 19 to 21. 1 Peter 2, 19 to 21 says this, "For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Then the last verse of our text, verse 11, says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." I have the example of Job, and we won't get into what Job suffered, but I think many of us, if not all of us, are familiar with what Job all faced. And he endured it with patience. Now we are admonished to be as patient as Job in suffering trials and temptations. For he saw the end, where we could say Job's eyes were focused on the goal of the Lord's day. And he realized and he knew that the Lord was full of compassion and mercy. And I think we would all agree that when we read the book of Job, there would be very few of us, if any of us, that have suffered what Job all suffered. He suffered complete bankruptcy. He lost all his property. He lost all his livestock. He lost his employees. And then the greatest blow of all, he lost his family. And then on top of all of that yet, his wife fussed at him because he refused to complain. Job refused to complain and curse God for destroying their lives. But let's take note that Job never gave in, and he never gave up. He never forsook his faith in God. He did not understand what was happening to him, just as we very often don't understand why things happen in our lives. But Job remained faithful. He refused to turn against God. He stood and patiently endured, struggling to conquer all and conquer it in the name of God. Job confesses when he says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Job had the attitude, he says, It doesn't matter what God is going to allow to come my way. What's he going to do in my life? I will trust him. And he says in chapter 19, verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Point is this, that Job kept his eyes fixed upon the end, that is upon the Lord and the great hope of the Lord. And the Lord carried Job through all his trials and temptations by blessing him with the very presence of God himself, with the compassion and mercy of God. And Job endured patiently. Therefore, we count him blessed or happy. If we think of how we can apply this to ourselves today, as believers are to bear the afflictions of trials and temptations by focusing our eyes upon the Lord. Fix our eyes upon the goal and the coming again when Jesus Christ will come and he will take us into his heavenly kingdom. And as we do that, the compassion and mercy of God will flow both upon and through us. God will deliver us, but we do not know how we will be delivered. And he will give us victory when we remain faithful. Turning back to James chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." I believe God is powerfully teaching us the virtue of patience today. And the challenge that I want to put out to all of us is this: am I yielding myself to his leading? Am I yielding my life and my mind to the Lord? What I do know is this: that God will make a way when we yield to his will. However, that may require a tough lesson, or a few, in submitting and being patient on our part. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Share just a few more verses. Romans 15, verses 4 to 6. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I have a little illustration here that I'd like to share with you of patience. And I don't know if this is a real story or not, but I think the lesson is still in there. It's called The Patient Father. There's a story about a man who stopped in the grocery store on the way home from work to pick up a couple of items for his wife. And he wandered about aimlessly for a while, searching out the needed groceries. As is often the case in the grocery store, he kept passing the same shopper in almost every aisle. It was another father trying to shop with a totally uncooperative 3-year-old boy in the cart. The first time they passed, the three-year-old was asking over and over for a candy bar. And our observer couldn't hear the entire conversation. He just heard the dad say, "Now, Billy, this won't take long." As they passed in the next aisle, the three-year-old's pleas had increased several octaves. Now, Dad was quietly saying, "Billy, just calm down. We will be done in a minute." When they passed near the dairy case, the kid was screaming uncontrollably at this point, and Dad was still keeping his cool. In a very low voice, he was saying, "Billy, settle down. We're almost out of here." The dad and his son reached the checkout counter just ahead of this observer, and he still gave no evidence of losing control. The boy at this point was screaming and kicking, and Dad was very calmly saying over and over, "Billy, we will be in the car in just a minute, and then everything will be okay." This bystander, he was so impressed with this dad that after paying for his groceries, he hurried outside to catch up with this amazing example of patience and self-control. And just in time to hear him say again, "Billy, we're done. It's going to be okay." So he tapped this patient father on the shoulder and said, "Sir, I couldn't help but watch how you handled little Billy. You are amazing." To which the dad replied, "You don't get it, do you? I am Billy." But we often need to talk to ourselves, I think, and convince ourselves when we get impatient, is we need to have a conversation with our own mind. I know I do. Do I just lose it? Or do I trust that God is still with me and that I can endure whatever comes my way? I'd also like to share a poem with you, and it also deals with the subject of patience. It says, "Although things are not perfect, because of trial or pain, continue in thanksgiving. Do not begin to blame. Even when the times are hard, fierce winds are bound to blow, God is forever able. Hold on to what you know. Imagine life without his love. Joy would cease to be. Keep thanking him for all the things love imparts to thee. Move out of camp complaining. No weapon that is known on earth can yield the power praise can do alone. Quit looking at the future. Redeem the time at hand. Start every day with worship. To thank is a command. Until we see him coming, victorious in the sky, we'll run the race with gratitude, exalting God most high. Yes, there will be good times, and yes, some will be bad, but Zion waits in glory where none are ever sad." My prayer would be that we could all learn the lesson of patience and apply it to our lives on a daily basis. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Lord, again, we come before your throne of grace this morning. And Lord, we just ask, teach us to be patient. Teach us to be patient with life, with our circumstances, with others, and even with ourselves. Many a time we try to hurry things along, maybe a little too much, and we become pushy for answers before the time is right. Teach us to trust your timing, Lord, rather than our own, and surrender our wills to your greater and wiser plan. Help us to let life unfold at the pace that is your will, and teach us to savor each experience that you allow to come to our lives so we can learn the lessons behind each happening. Lord, we ask that you grant us the virtue of patience, and we pray that each life experience may mellow us and not harden or embitter us. Lord, as we wait on you, we pray that your Spirit and your Word may comfort and provide direction for every road that we travel on. Lord, we realize that you do not fail and you will not fail. Help us, Lord, to be humble and yielding ourselves to your perfect will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time I would like to give you an opportunity to bring to the Lord whatever lies in your heart. And we know that we don't need to pray only here in church, but God hears our prayers wherever and whenever we come before him. So at this time, for you, if you are physically able, I would invite you to kneel with me in a time of silent prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I have an announcement here that I want to share with you. It's there will be a meeting here in Nubatwal on November the 8th at 7:30 p.m. And the topics are as follows. Discussion and vote regarding the purchase of 2 acres to addition of the church cemetery. And second, discussion about the present way of having the German and English services. And third, the discussion and vote about having a different ministry serving in both Sunday morning services. So I will make sure that goes into the bulletin for next Sunday, but just make note of it. November the 8th, we will have a meeting about this. And as you will see on your bulletin, that the Stambeck Church is not in there, and it might be my fault that I made that mistake. But Stambeck has communion this coming Saturday. So just make note of that, that if you want to go there, it's this coming Saturday evening. Thank you. It was yesterday already. Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry.
Thank you, Brother Jake. And thank you to all of you for coming, sharing in this morning. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. I just encourage you to continue to support your leadership locally here and also as a whole in our conference. We need your support, and I thank you for doing so. May God bless you for it. I just want to say thank you also to the group that led in the singing this morning, and thank you to the sound person. Takes all of these, takes willing people to make it all happen. And thank you for your service. May God bless you for it. Let's close with a benediction. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. You may go in peace with the Lord.